We're going to talk to somebody that used to be friends with Nabil.
Yeah, I don't know if they're still
what happened there?
Or, I don't know. Nabauskas was a...
Jabari Greer came into the scene, and this guy's out.
Yes, so he's now number two in line when it comes to Nabil.
So that didn't cost Nabil a lot of jersey money right there?
I don't know. Last week was maybe one of the craziest weeks in this guy's life, nuts. I would have to believe. Here's our old buddy, still our buddy, I believe. Nabil signed off on this. He's in Cleveland. He made his debut for the Cavs last night. Here's Nick Stauskas. What's happening, Nick?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. Are you still buddies with Nabil, or has that kind of come to an end?
No. It's still a Nabauskas. It's still a thing.
Okay. No, it's not. And now, man.
No, it definitely still is, man. We still keep in touch. And, you know, I was hoping that I was going to be in the playoffs this year. But now that I'm Cleveland, I might still have a chance to come back home and do some playoff coverage for the Raptors. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I hate to break it to everybody. I think you know this. It seems pretty likely Cleveland won't be making the playoffs. But,
yeah,
you know, you had one of the craziest weeks in NBA history where you were in Portland, obviously, and you signed with them in the offseason. You played with them this year. Then you got traded to Cleveland, then traded to Houston, then traded to Indiana, then released by the Pacers, and then signed with the Cavs, and you made your debut last night. Did you have to physically travel to any of these spots?
Actually, I've been in Cleveland now for a week straight. So when I got traded from Portland to Cleveland, I think I got traded on Sunday. Monday morning, I flew to Cleveland. It took like a full day to get there because there's no direct flights. I was there for all day Tuesday. They had a game. Cleveland had a game against Boston, so I was sat on the bench for that game. I didn't play. I was inactive. And, you know, the next day, I went to practice with the Cavs. It was Wednesday. And I was, you know, like learning plays and trying to like learn their offense. But at the same time that all this was happening, they did like tell me, they're like, there's a chance, because the trade deadline was Thursday. They were honest with me, and they told me that there was a chance that I might get moved again before deadline. So I was like literally learning their plays and like trying to like imagine being a part of their team, but at the same time preparing for the worst. And sure enough, Wednesday night, I was in my hotel room in Cleveland, and my fiance was right next to me, and she saw on Twitter that I got traded. So she was like, yeah, you just got traded to Houston. So then we were like, oh man, like just a nut. Like we were just kind of shocked by it. We didn't like know that Houston was going to be a spot. But at the time that I got traded to Houston, no one from the Rockets was like, hey, we're going to book a flight for you to come here or whatever. Like it sounded like they were still making more moves as well. So I was told Wednesday night to just stay put in Cleveland. And then sure enough, Thursday morning I woke up, I got traded to Indiana. And it was kind of like the same thing. Once I got traded to Indiana, my agent and everyone was like, just stay put. They still might be doing stuff. And then once I got waived by Indiana, the general manager of Cleveland called me like within the first 5 minutes I got waived, and he was like, we're going to bring you back to Cleveland. So at that point I was like, I was just staying put here. So yeah, I've been in Cleveland now for over a week, but it's been a little crazy of just like not knowing how it was going to play out.
Nick, just a quick follow up on that. Did you find it disrespectful to find out you were traded? We do the hockey stuff and the trade deadline where people find out by watching TV. Were you slighted by that, or is that just kind of the nature of the beast where people are relaying information, or did you not really think that much of it? Because I don't think I would like it that much.
Hearing on Twitter is what you're saying.
Yeah, Twitter.
Finding out
by
like a Woj bomb that you've been moved.
Yeah, no, it was literally me and my fiance, we were just like refreshing Woj's Twitter page, and that's how we were getting all our information. And it was like a couple minutes after I find out each time, like it was like my agent calling me and the teams would call me, but yeah, it was always like we would first find. I mean, I think Woj is just like the first person to report anything. It's crazy how fast he is. But yeah, that's kind of how we were figuring out. I didn't take offense to it. You know, it'd be nice to figure out a different way, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. So
with Nick Stauskas. So when you say that you spoke with someone from Houston and Indiana, was that like their GM or was it like, you know, the travel agent figuring all this kind of stuff out?
Indiana, I didn't talk to anyone, actually. No one from Indiana ever called me.
This is crazy.
I was just traded for and then like waived, and my agent was telling me, as soon as I got traded in Indiana, my agent told me that we weren't going to stay there. So I knew something was going to happen, whether I got traded again or waived or whatever. I knew that wasn't going to be the end destination. But Houston, the front office of Houston did reach out to me when they traded for me. But again, they were never like forward with any travel arrangements or anything. So I just assumed from the get go that, that wasn't going to be the end destination for me either. But yeah, looking back at it now, it was a really crazy 48 hours.
Yeah, no kidding. So would like Indiana be included on your basketball reference page? Like, do you consider yourself a Pacer? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if, do I claim Houston, Indiana? No, I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe. Well, I didn't even get to like pick a jersey number or anything for them, so I don't know if it technically counts, but if people want to count it, then I guess they can.
Yeah.
Yeah, but unless you actually play a game, I mean, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
How are you doing now, pal? Like, you all right with all this?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. It was definitely just like, it was a hectic week. But like now that I'm here in Cleveland, just trying to get settled in, you know, things should be a little better. It's also, I don't know if it's good timing or bad timing, but like we also, tomorrow is our last game before All-Star break. So it's just like feels like weird right now because in the NBA season, you're used to just like playing every other day. And with this last like week, I've kind of just been in limbo. And then I come back, I played last night and then I played tomorrow and then I'm off for like another week for All-Star. So just the timing of everything is a little bit weird, but it'll be good now just to kind of get situated here in Cleveland.
With Nick Stauskas, who made his debut for the Cleveland Cavaliers last night, in terms of trying to find a role, find a rhythm on a new team, you know, halfway through the season, how do you approach that? I mean, is it more you have conversations with the coaching staff, with the other players on the team? Are you kind of on your own to figure it out? What's this whole experience like?
I mean, it's not too difficult. I think the first step is just like learning the plays, learning the offense, which I think most of the time takes about a week. I think that's the only reason right now I kind of wish it was an All-Star break, because I would like to just like, I would love to start playing games and just like be able to get in that rhythm of playing again and learn the offense or whatever. But, it kind of sucks that I'm going to play two games and then be off for another week. Cause I feel like it's just going to kind of prolong the process of getting comfortable with the guys. But for the most part, I think, you know, all the players and coaches on the team have been, just pretty understanding and pretty straightforward with me. Obviously they're not fighting for the playoffs right now or anything. So, there's like no pressure to come in right away and, you know, have things work out perfectly. So for me, it's just, you know, about getting as comfortable as quick as I can and trying to find my rhythm and try to help this team out.
I always wondered, I was never traded in season, but like, what do you pack in a bag? Like, where is your whole life? Is it in Portland right now and you just fired up a suitcase and away you go and try to make it work?
I have one big suitcase that I packed that I've kind of been living out of for this last week. But yeah, all my whole life right now is back in Portland. Like all my furniture, all my clothes, all my shoes, everything is over there. So I guess that is the one positive thing about All-Star break. It kind of gives me an opportunity to get everything situated within the next couple of days. And then, yeah, just like, you know, there's just a lot of stuff like shipping cars, shipping furniture, finding a new apartment here. There's a lot of extra stuff that goes into it that can kind of be stressful, but I guess it's just all part of the life in the NBA, I guess.
With Nick Stauskas here on Overdrive, we referenced this just prior to having you on, these two streaks that are ongoing in the NBA. James Harden goes off for 30 again last night. That's 30 straight games with 30 or more points. And Russell Westbrook had another triple-double last night. That is 10 straight games with a triple-double. Which one is more impressive in your opinion?
I mean, they're both very impressive. I think maybe Harden's is more impressive just because Westbrook has already averaged a triple-double for a season, so he's like kind of like shown already what that looks like. Obviously, doing it in 10 straight games is very impressive. But the way Harden's scoring the ball right now it's ridiculous. And I think a lot of people don't appreciate the like endurance and conditioning it takes to do what he does on a nightly basis. Like, he has the ball all game, every game. And some people might look at that as like, oh, it must be fun. He gets to shoot a bunch of times, but they don't realize like the responsibility that comes with that and how taxing that can be. So, and not to mention that every team they play against is game. They know what he's going to do. They're game planning for him. Their only thing they're trying to do is stop him, and he still manages to score 40 plus easily, pretty much every night. So it's impressive, and to see a guard doing it, not someone, you know, obviously it's one thing if it's like, you know, a Shaq type player who's just physically more dominant than everyone on the floor, but this is what James is doing is just pure skill, which is very impressive.
Nick, it blows me away, to be honest with you, because he's being guarded by the best defenders night in and night out, and yet he still does it. And it's not like he just sits behind the three-point line and is jacking up Jimmy's the whole time. That guy gets to the line a lot. He gets whacked. He gets hit.
Yeah.
He's paying a physical price, and the only guy who's done it better is Wilt. Like you mentioned, a big man in the post who just overpowered everybody. It's pretty cool to watch.
No, it's amazing. And, you know, as impressive as the handle and the jump shot and everything is, like, his ability to draw contact, it's like he just has it down. It's an art that I don't know how, because he didn't necessarily have it when he first came into the league, but I guess just studying film or whatever it was he did, like, he has figured it out where he knows exactly where to put his arms, exactly where to lean his body in order to draw the contact. And he puts the refs in a tough position where they're kind of forced to make calls, even though sometimes the defender may feel like they don't, but, you know, for example, when I guard James Harden, like, a lot of times when I get called for a foul on him, I'm like, I turn the ref and I'm like, well, what else am I supposed to do? You know what I mean? Like, the guy's driving, like, well, I can't touch him at all, but just the way he sells things and the way he positions his body, it is a foul. So he's changing the game. Like, he really is. He's changing the way the game is played, and he's changing the way the game is refed.
Pretty incredible to see what's going on. We wish you nothing but success, as always, buddy, down in Cleveland. Good luck the rest of the way. Enjoy the All-Star break, and hopefully we get to see you up here in studio in April.
You guys will see me. I don't know if it'll be for the whole playoffs, but you guys will definitely see me at some point. So I appreciate you guys having me on the show, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Nicky.
There he is, Nick Stauskas, one half of the maybe biggest bromance in the history of TSN.
Nabauskas.
Nabauskas.
Mm-hmm.